You're listening to, and this one's introduced by, On 3CR. A program where we listen to tracks from an album introduced by an artist who made the album. Brought to you by Mars, Matt, Molly, and Luna. Thanks for listening. And this one's introduced by... I first met Liv Jance, the artist behind Punko, in late 2021 when we were both living in Newcastle during the COVID-19 lockdowns. I'd left Nam as lockdowns continued on and Newcastle became a place to decompress by the ocean. Liv and I were put in touch by mutual friends, and it was around this time I first heard Punko's music. Their music is ethereal, mesmerizing dream pop that is incredibly transportative, creating a world of sound for the listener to become fully immersed in. Their debut album, Plant Singing, was released in 2022, and it endures as one of my favourite local album releases in the last 5 years. Liv joined me to introduce the album and talk a bit about Punko.
My name's Liv. I perform under the name Punko, and Punko is currently a solo kind of pop electronic project where I like write, record and produce all my music. And I like to describe the music as kind of like pop, ambient, post-punk. It originally started, it's kind of always been my solo like kind of writing project and kind of a more like personal electronic project. I've been like writing and recording and saving songs on my laptop as Punko for like probably like 10 years, but then didn't start sharing those songs under the name of Punko until like 2019. And at the time, I was playing live with two really awesome musicians, Chad Chan and Coco. Coco's an awesome musician called Hyena. They perform as Hyena. Originally in 2019, we were performing live as a three-piece and collaborating. And I think we only got to play like five gigs, and then COVID, you know, happened. And then throughout COVID, I kind of went on more of a solo journey. That's when I kind of committed to writing my album and working on the recordings and kind of completing that process in my bedroom, on my laptop. Yeah, it's very much a bedroom record. So Plant Singing is my debut album and so far my only album that I have released. It's kind of a combination of demos in a way. Like, I feel like the album really, I love demos. And I had these songs that were demos that the live project, when it was a three-piece, we, at that time, the demos were just for the band to learn the songs. And then once I went into lockdown and I suddenly had time to focus on really working on the album, up until that point I always had it in my head that like when I make the album, like these kind of shitty demos that I have, like something's going to happen, I'm going to take them to someone and someone's going to make these songs good, you know, like make them worthy of being shared. But then it was like a really beautiful process of accepting like, no, like you have to do this. These demos actually are the songs. So making this album was a really kind of beautiful experience for me of like accepting this is like the way I make music. I'm actually proud of these songs and they're worth working on my own. So there's kind of some of the songs are like demos that weren't written with the context of an album in mind, and then through the recording process over, I guess, maybe like 5 or 6 months through lockdown, then I wrote more songs and recorded more songs which were added to the body of work. So I feel like the album is kind of like a documentation in a way of like my production journey, recorded in my bedroom and, exploring a lot of like themes of, I guess like my spirituality, my identity, my community and my connection to nature. they feel like the biggest themes on the album, and like big healing journeys that were kind of happening in isolation, like, and it was really beautiful to complete the body of work and then for the first time have this experience of like understanding it in hindsight and seeing what that healing journey was. So yeah, it's like just this really sentimental kind of capturing of something, and like a big personal achievement to just do it. Something I said I wanted to do for so long and I didn't have the confidence to do it. And yeah, just made it on GarageBand on my laptop at home alone. And then it was mixed by Bonnie Knight, really awesome friend. And then the mixing process was so creative with them that in the end, it kind of turned into like co-production when we talked about like, how do we, you know, how do I credit you for this? And we were like, yeah, they had such a big part to play in kind of elevating my mixes and my ideas, that their production and their creativity really changed and really influenced the album. So the first song on the album is Plant Singing, which, yeah, turned out to be the album title. And it's funny, I think it's like interesting kind of pinning down meanings of things with music in general, because I think song meanings and lyrics and things, like, they're kind of always changing. They're very much alive. So I feel like the album title has a different meaning to the song, Plant Singing. Yeah, I feel like for the album title, Plant Singing feels very much about like us as natural beings, like plants and like planet Earth. It feels like music in general for me is like kind of an offering to like life and kind of what I want to contribute to nature. And it's like an attempt to connect to the world and to people. So I like this kind of collective idea of us all being connected through sound, and plant singing kind of feels like, yeah, for the album, that's the embodiment of that phrase. And for the song itself, yeah, a lot of people kind of interpret a lot of songs as breakup songs, but yeah, I wrote this in 2019 after, yeah, a really horrible event in Aotearoa. There was that really violent terrorist attack in Christchurch where, like, yeah, a gunman went and killed like over 50 people in two separate mosques outside of Christchurch. And my friend who I was living with at the time is from that area, and his family, you know, prays around there, and they were safe, thank God. But we were just at home, like, really grieving that event. And yeah, the song is about white supremacy and about radicalization of white men in white supremacist countries, you know, and knowing that the gunman came, you know, that terrorist came from Australia. He was a white man from Australia. The song is about the media. Yeah, it's anger at the Australian media for as long as I've been alive, and I'm sure much longer, just like demonizing Muslim people, and just Islamophobia is what the song was about, and how, yeah, the media really has blood on their hands for, you know, and it's only increasing, the violence that we see. But so, yeah, the lyrics are a lot about this, the media encouraging and radicalizing people in really racist ways, but then interviewing victims when there is violence, and then like using them. So it's kind of about the media kind of tricking people into trusting them when they're really so responsible for the violence. So yeah, it was quite a emotional place I was writing from. And then the lyrics at the end about, I'm distracted by the future and I'm not looking at you, is not how I think we should approach politics, you know, and not how I think we should approach mainstream media. It's not saying to ignore it, but it was very much like, I'm not going to look to you for the answers, and I'm not going to look at this media as the truth. I'm going to look at like all of the beautiful people that resist and fight white supremacy and survive white supremacy. So it's kind of placing hope in so many communities and realms outside of this kind of dominant, violent, white supremacist culture. Yeah, that's what the song is about. So the second song on the album is called Collect. Yeah, I feel like this is a good chance to talk about Bonnie's mixing and production. Basically, our process for working together was I had recorded, you know, everything on my laptop in my bedroom. I'm just like using two synths and a bass, and yeah, it's minimal. I would say I'm like technically quite. I'm self-taught with recording and production. So they basically, when I sent them the mixes, the way that we worked was I was like, you do a first mix and just like go nuts, do whatever comes to you. And I just really wanted to hear their kind of interpretation of the songs. And this was one of the first ones that they sent me back, and I was just so blown away. Like, if you heard my original of this song, it's like quite different to what Bonnie has created. They, yeah, added a lot of like delay and kind of layering of my vocals, which I really love, and they added some extra bass synth, and yeah, they just made this like really kind of rich, just the production on this song I really love of Bonnie's. So yeah, I felt so lucky to work with them, and I love their vocal production. They really, I'm just like recording with like a little dynamic mic with a sock on it, like as a pop filter. And I feel like they made it sound like I recorded on an expensive mic. I was like, how'd you do that? So yes, this song is like about, this is like about trying to separate from my inner critic. It's about really getting over the voice in my head that is tearing me down and having this realization of like, do you know what, I don't need this like character in my mind. So it's trying to break up with my inner critic or break up with my ego or something. Yeah, I think it's my favorite song on the album. I tried to play a lot of the songs off this album live solo because it was like a transition from playing them with the band to then solo. And honestly, like none of them really translated live in a way that I was happy with. But for some reason, this song, like the energy is still kind of alive when I play it. So it lasted. It's gotten carried through. The others didn't make it.
Please come and come.
Okay, the next song is Cash Under Your Bed. This is definitely the most popular song on the album. This seems to be the one that people, no matter what kind of music they're into, if they like any of my music, it's this song. I think maybe because there's a guitar on it. I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, people just love guitar and this is the only song with the guitar on it. It's, I guess, on the heavier side content-wise. Yeah, it's about trying to leave an abusive relationship and then trying to forgive yourself for staying in one, you know, myself, trying to forgive myself for staying in an abusive situation for a while. It's interesting that it resonates with a lot of people and it seems to bring out like a lot of joy in people. I find like when people talk to me about it or something, I don't know what it is, but it like seems to be very, it comes across as quite lighthearted, I think, or like people kind of want to know the story behind it. And I'm like, it's literally just a true story of like, I took some money under the bed and like failed on this like awful guy. But yes, and it did, you know, I'm proud to say this song did end up on season 2 of Heartbreak High. And I really love that show. And it ended up in quite a bizarre scene given the song meaning for me. I think it was in a scene about like impotence or something in like teenage sexual experience, and which is also really sweet. So yeah, this song has like gone on a strange little journey and seems to connect with people in strange ways. But it has the most plays on the streaming things, and funny relationship with this song. I don't play it live. It's like, feels a bit too emotional for me to like really come back to that often. But that's this song.
Taken.
Hey, you're listening to Punko on 3CR. I'm currently taking you through my debut album, Plants Singing. Just a bit behind each track and how the album was made. Track 4, Painted by the Moon. Yes, this one's pretty self-explanatory, really. It's just essentially about feeling unsafe on the streets, which a lot of us do for a lot of different reasons. And yeah, it's really just like a fantasy about, I just would love to walk around alone at night and I never do. And sometimes I feel like that's irrational because I could walk around certain spots at night, but like it just doesn't feel worth it because I can't, you know, relax mentally. So yeah, this song is just part fantasy about being painted by the moon, you know, like, is this a dream? You know, my body is like alone in the moonlight. That's like a huge dream of mine to feel comfortable doing that. The first bit's just about walking down the street. I picture it in Preston because, you know, got sexually harassed so much in Preston. Doesn't happen as much anymore, but just smoking a little joint, going for a walk, and then some dickhead starts shit and it sucks. I actually remembering now, it's coming to me, I was laughing when I wrote this song. I think it was like pretty tongue-in-cheek, and then also like songwriting wise, I felt like I was making like a kind of cliche pop song, like dong da da dong. Like there was something I found kind of funny about the simplicity of it. And then the bass line in the second half, I do really love. And this was one of the songs that I used to play live with Coco and Chad. And that section where it opens up and I'm kind of playing these like open bass notes. Yeah, that used to be like one of my favorite things to play. Yeah, bass. I don't usually start writing a song with bass, but it's my favorite instrument to play, and I'm still playing bass live in my performances, even though they're much more electronic now. I kind of need the bass. So yeah, this is a more bass heavy song, and I guess it suits the tone as well of just like pissed off and frustrated and angry. Like, yeah, I guess that's in the bass line. And then in the second half, when it's in that fantasy space of wishing that you could feel free, I think the bass kind of follows that where it like opens up. So yeah, there's like, I can see that link when I think about it.
You don't want to, you glow.
So the next song on the album is Mum's Ringtone, which once the album came together, I was like, I feel like this is a needed reprieve. I feel like the first half of the album, like content-wise, is definitely heavier than the second half. And yeah, so feels like a bit of a breath out. And this song is literally, I was trying to make a ringtone for my mum's phone because, yeah, my mum is really into bird photography. It was like something that she got into like in her 50s. She mainly takes photos of eagles and raptors. And yeah, I was trying to make a ringtone for her. But then, you know, later on I did feel like, oh, it does like kind of make, it evokes this like Mother Nature energy as well. So I like that, the idea of like mum's ringtone with all this rain and birds and kind of gentle sounds is like, yeah, kind of feels like some link to that. But yeah, it's just like an improvised synth piece with the rain and the birds for my mom. Yeah. Oh yeah, actually I recorded it in lockdown. I think maybe this was the last song I actually recorded on the album. I was at my parents' place for a couple of months in between. Yeah, before I moved to Newcastle, I left Melbourne and moved to Newcastle. So yeah, there was a day where I was making this song and I just, yeah, put the mic out the window. It was raining. So yeah. The next song is Whitebird's Another Bird Moment. Another moment for the birds on the album. Never too much, if you ask me. This song is just, it's about white cockatoos, which are my favourite bird. Yeah, I was living in Warrandyte and I just was obsessed with the white cockatoos, and it's like just kind of praising them as, like, I just associate them with like healing for me, because I feel like if I'm near them, I'm in like a beautiful environment. And I think this is like a prime example of like why this song has my really early demos that just got kept. Like this song was recorded so roughly when I really didn't. Like throughout the album on different songs, like my skills are improving with recording and production. But this one was one of the ones where I'm like, I'm embracing that this is a bit out of time. I'm embracing my process. I remember like because Bonnie in the mixing process like cleaned up a lot of things that were a bit shonky with my drums, and because I don't use MIDI, I don't like program my drums. All of my beats, I'm drumming on my synth. So they're all audio tracks. So I'll like drum 4 beats of kick, and then I'll record the snare in a different audio track, and then I chop them up and I like quantize them. I don't know if I had learned how to quantize at this point. So the song was like frozen. Like the whole song was made, and then I kind of couldn't go back and put it all together in time. So I have a lot of love for this song because it's like, it's me like learning, and just, it's like got a YOLO kind of vibe to it for me. But I think it frustrated Bonnie. There's like a part in the chorus where they couldn't line up this, like, I guess it's like a kind of marimbery sound or something. And I was like, well, we just got to go with it because that's what it is. So yes, for anyone that's like sitting on songs because you feel like they're not good enough or you have to be perfectionistic, I hope this song can be permission to just like share your stuff, because yeah, it can be shonky.
She's above you.
The next song is Undivided. Yeah, this one, pretty simple, I guess. I think it was one of the early ones I wrote. It was about losing love. It was a housemate fallout. Classic. Yeah, just a bit of a like, damn, you can really love someone and then shit happens and suddenly the love is gone. And that's weird. So yeah. Yeah, the title is kind the title is different to the song. Meaning, maybe that's like a subconscious. Well, I mean, there is definitely yearning, like in every like rupture socially. Like, I'm not someone who holds grudges. Like, I hate when a relationship goes bad because then I'm like, damn it. Now, you know, obviously no one loves it, but I mean, like, I'm not someone that's like, my mind doesn't like throw people away. So yeah, maybe there is that, maybe is what's in the title, is like, I do have a yearning for there to be peace with the people that, you know, relationships have fallen apart with. So maybe that is what's going on there. And but I think in general, like, yeah, my music is like a fantasy, really. The lyrics are a fantasy of I'm writing about, you know, wishing that's how I felt. You know, there's definitely like confidence in my lyrics, which I'm, I guess, trying to evoke in myself. And that's my chance to embody that feeling of like, I think at the end of this, so singing like it's hard to remember knowing you at all. And yeah, it's probably is like a bit of a wishing of like, yeah, I don't even remember our relationship, but like, yeah, that's, it's not true. Hey, repetition is a big thing. And in my lyrics and songs that I'm currently performing, repetition is really big for me. I feel like it's just such a cathartic way for me to process something. Like, I feel like often with lyrics, I'm like singing the things that I can't speak. Like, it is the avenue for me to process and express really complex or simple, you know, just to process my emotions. And I love with repetition that I find the meaning can change through repeating something. Like, it, the first time you hear a phrase, you have whatever response you have to that phrase. And then after hearing it 5 or 6 times, I feel like the body responds differently each time. So I love personally experiencing the meaning change as I sing it. And then as a listener, I find it's like nice. It's like the meaning decays and you kind of like stop believing. It's like the more I repeat something, sometimes it's like because there's like a desperation to it, or like it's falling apart, or it's growing more powerful. You know, I feel like each time you listen to it, it's, I guess, takes you into like a state of processing that's, I guess, like a bit of a trance state. And yeah, it's something I seem to do a lot in a lot of songs, and still the ones I'm writing. Yeah, big part of my songwriting for sure.
Something got split in two. Taken with it, my love for you. Taken with it. Something got split in two. Taken with it. My love for you. Taken with it. My care for you. Thank you. something got split in two. Taken with it.
The next song is Time For Us. God, there's so much to talk about with this song, actually. And like, I'm going to start by saying it's featuring one of my best friends, Christabel Elliott. She's such an incredible musician. If anyone knows her pop R&B project, Pillow Pro, super iconic two-piece with Jude. And Christabel's now like working on solo stuff, has really beautiful solo music, and has a show on 3CR. Yeah, she's one of the presenters on Salaam Radio. Yeah, incredible person, one of my closest friends. And we were living together while I made this album. So actually she feels quite imbued in the whole album. But yeah, this song is really close to our friendship, and it's a lot to do about just some identity stuff that she's been a big part of me processing as well. So it felt nice to have her in the music. But it's very much about my ancestry and my identity and being mixed race. It was kind of like a real turning point in songwriting for me, this song, because it was one of the first songs where I realized like there were other entities like writing the lyrics. I think in the past, if I was singing lyrics and I wasn't instantly sure what I was singing about, I would question that and be like, oh, is this like meaningful? But this was the first one where I was like, well, I really feel like something is calling out to me, and that's what these lyrics are. And it felt very like lyrically guided in the beginning. It's really about like the brown women in my family and the connection to my ethnicity through my South Asian heritage. Like my mom is from Scotland and my dad's from Sri Lanka, and I feel like my connection to my ancestors on my Scottish side has just been like so encouraged and rich, and like been to Scotland multiple times and it felt like very easy to access. And then on my dad's side, it's like felt way more complicated, and I think the experience of people immigrating to Australia and like the ways they can preserve their identity or culture like in this context is like different when there's like racial elements and survival and then like internalized racism. Like there's a lot to it. So I've maybe have found less permission at times to connect with that in like a spiritual way or something. It's kind of like what is made available is made available, and with different families. So this song is kind of about like, where is the time and space to connect with these? It felt really connected to the women. Like, yeah, is there time for us? And I didn't fully know exactly what I was singing about at first, and then it kind of was like becoming clearer as it went on. And then in the second half, it's, yeah, a lot about both my grandmothers not wanting to come to Australia initially, and imagining them like coming with young kids with my parents, and like what that meant for them leaving like where they were from. Yeah, it's like kind of just wanting to pay respect and be like, I'm really grateful for the decisions they've made and the sacrifices they made for their families and stuff. Yeah, and then this is the only song on the album that there's a video clip for. Aarti Jadu and Jolie Boardman, we made a film clip together for it, and that was just such a beautiful experience. Like Aarti's interpretation of the song was like really psychically connected. Like, I had thought of actually naming the album Invisible Jewelry. It was a kind of imagery in my mind I had about like ancestral gifts and burdens that we're all kind of walking around with these jewels on us that's sometimes heavy and sometimes beautiful and difficult or whatever. And I hadn't talked about this with Aarti, but I sent her my album and I was like, which song do you want to make a clip for? Because she said she wanted to make a clip, and she picked this, and then she was just like, I'm just getting all these images of jewelry. And yeah, it was like really a lot of synchronicity, and making the film clip together was like, yeah, just a really beautiful spiritual experience, and brought me and Christabel and Aarti all a lot closer. So yeah, lots in this song, lots in this song.
Time for
So the next song is Pray. This one is very simple. It's just, it's about my grandma, Mimi. Shout out Mimi, one of my besties. And yeah, huge spiritual mentor in my life. And I don't know what I was going through, but I was going through something and she was just like, you need to meditate and you need to pray. And then that's what this song is about. It's just about talking to her on the phone and being guided by her and trying to take her advice. Just loving her. God, I love her. I love both my grandparents so much. So, yeah, song for Mimi. I think, it's funny. Like, I guess just making music is such a spiritual process. Feels like you're really like opening yourself up to multiple realms, and like there's this like nonverbal space that is so healing, and then in the lyrics as well, that processing space that feels very much like channeling things. Definitely the album does feel, my spirituality is like really tied into the songs and in the music that I'm writing now. Like it's almost hard to articulate because it's like is so embedded in like, I wonder if every musician must feel this way. I can't imagine any musician not feeling like music was like part of their spiritual practice, but maybe. Yeah, I mean, Punko just, to me, even like Punko feels like a spiritual entity. Like I don't feel like I am Punko. I feel like Punko is, Punko feels like an entity that is guiding me. And actually certain people do encourage me to shift that narrative. Like sometimes people will be like, Punko is you and you need to like work on that. And I'm still figuring that out. Like it definitely feels like some type of like, I feel like I sound so crazy when I talk about this, but like it feels like a predetermined path and I just have to like clear the way to follow it and to stay healthy, and it feels really healthy. So in that sense, like, and in this song, it's like healthy words from my grandma, and I feel like spirituality is so much about like being healthy-minded and healthy part of like the people's lives around you and those types of things. So yeah, I feel like Punko keeps me healthy and sane and spiritually connected, and I'm very grateful for that.
I want you to.
Rolling in Light Blue is the next song on the album, and it is the only love song on the album. I don't write love songs, really. But this one is about my ex. We're still great friends, so I love that I have a love song about them on this, and I still love them so much. Yeah, they're one of my besties. But yeah, this is just like, I don't know if you know that bit, but when you drive into Warrandyte before the IGA, if you're coming from Bell Street, the kind of Preston way, not the M3 way, but if you're coming the Preston way and you come down the hill, there's just like a moment where in the distance you can just like first see the hills. So it's very much about like, I think just like a moment of driving down that hill with somebody I love and seeing the mountains and being like, damn, I'm happy. But structurally as well, this song was like a big challenge for me because I was really, it's very minimal, the instrumentation. And I was really hooked on the melody in my mind, but usually I will do the instrumentation first and then sing over the top and kind of riff and it will fit. But I was trying to write the keys, the synth after the vocal melody. Anyway, it was like really hard to do, and I was like really pushing my neural pathways and just trying to like stick to the task. So yeah, it's like kind of a simple song, but I feel like sometimes those simple ones are actually like harder to write. So it's one of those like, yeah, it was a bit like of a sneaky challenge for me. But yeah, I think it was like further along in the production and recording learning process, so I also think I was like getting a bit cleaner with like the beats I was making and like the outro of this song. I don't want to be cocky, but I think it kind of slaps, and I was like pretty proud. I was like trying stuff on the drums, and I was like, yes, entering a bit more of a like electronic beatsy thing. I don't know. Yeah.
Take a look at my heart. Look ahead at the hills. They are rolling in light blue. And my heart is beating for you. Next to you and 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 for you. I can feel you.
final song is the oldest song on the album, actually. I think in 2014, I think. I should check, but I was playing in a band called Hearing with, three lovely people, Dave, Jimmy, and Ruben. And this was a song we used to play, as Punko existed back then, as like just my little demos on my laptop that were saved under the name as Punko, which was like my fake solo project that didn't exist. I got really attached to this demo. So I think it was like living out in the world with this band, you know, with guitars and drums and bass. And then I just always felt attached to this like weird little synth demo I had. So it's pretty simple. And Plus Minus is the name of the track. Yes. And I put those symbols there. Gosh, thanks so much for the opportunity, and thank you to anyone who's been listening for taking the time. It's been really nice for me to like deep dive back into that world because, it was released in 2022 and it's nice that the album still has this like life of its own. And you can listen to it on Bandcamp. Don't listen to it on Spotify. And if you have Spotify, delete Spotify. Fuck Spotify. Sorry, can you say that? Okay. Bandcamp. And I have some vinyls left, which you can order online.
Thanks so much to Liv Jantz from Punker for introducing plant singing. Make sure to check it out on Bandcamp and follow Punker on social media. Thanks for listening to another episode of And This One's Introduced By. We'll be back next week with more from the And This One's Introduced By team.